John, it says, and the child grew, became strong in spirit. And he was in the wilderness until the day of his public appearance to Israel. All right, so he's growing and becoming strong in the spirit. And he came to prepare the way for Jesus. And we're going to jump back to Matthew right here. Go back to Matthew 3. Like I said, we're going to be jumping around. I just want to right here paint the picture of John and why it's crazy for to be asking, are you the Messiah? Or should we expect someone else? All right. Matthew 3, verse 3. It says, for this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And then it goes on to describe John a little bit more. Verse 4, now John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Basically, in today's world, he'd be like a homeless preacher, where people would go, instead of going out to see him in the wilderness, maybe now people would go to under an interstate overpass or something to hear him preach. That's what he would look like to us in today's society, would be just like a homeless person, just scrounging up food as best he can. Just a little more there. All right, look down at verse 11 right here. He's talking about Jesus coming, John the Baptist. He says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. He knows all about Jesus. I mean, it's crazy what he knows, all right? Then verses 13 through 17, where he experiences the baptism, Jesus' baptism. He baptizes Jesus, all right? And just look what he experiences right here. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? John's like, hey, you're Jesus. You're the Son of God. I can't baptize you. And Jesus said, yeah, you can. And when Jesus tells you to do something, you do it. So that's what John does. Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. All right, John baptizes Jesus. The heavens open up. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Here's that voice from heaven. And then a little bit later, he's asking, are you the Messiah, or should we expect someone different? That's crazy to me. That's crazy. Turn over to John. Just beat this point home a little bit more. John chapter 1, verse 29. And this is like describing the baptism once again, but it's just John. The next day he saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me, because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but for this purpose I came baptizing with water, that he might be revealed to Israel. And John bore witness. I saw the Spirit descend. This is John saying, hey, this is what I saw, okay? I saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove, and it remained on him. I myself did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, he on whom you see the Spirit descend and remain, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and borne witness that this is the Son of God. Right there he says, I have seen and borne witness of it. And later he's asking, are you the Messiah, or should we expect someone different? If you turn over just a little bit more, we're not going to read this, but just show you John chapter 3. John just, he exalts Christ even more in verses 22 through 36. I'm not going to read that for the, but he just, even more and more, John is just declaring who Jesus is. Y'all see in this picture? John, knowing Jesus, experiencing what he's experienced with Jesus. But now there's something going on. Let's go back to Matthew 11. Verse 1 again. When Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" See, I understand where John's coming from there. Throughout my life, I've seen God do some neat things and various people. And just act in ways where there's no doubt that it's just is God doing some crazy good stuff in my life and the life of people I love. Just so many neat things. But yet there have been times when just April and I have been through a lot in our marriage with her health. By the way, we'll be married 13 years tomorrow. Tomorrow's our 13-year anniversary. And people get up and they say, get up and they compliment their wife and stuff when they get awards and stuff. And I'm going to say this, and this is the honest truth, all right? April, I couldn't have done it without you. 13 years tomorrow. But during that 13 years, we've been through a lot. This has been tough. She's had 4 surgeries on her neck. Diabetes problems from that. Seems like anytime she has stuff done, it causes problems physically for her. And just it's a challenge for her just to get up and be here most Sundays. And I remember a few years back, just when she was hurting really bad, and we had both just been doing so much in the church, and it just felt like we were giving God everything. And it's just like, God, we're giving all this to you. Why is she hurting? Why can't I do anything to help her? And it's one of those moments where God just kind of put it on his boxing glove and just kind of punched me in the face a little bit. And it's like, hey, Jamie, are you doing this so I will bless you? Are you doing this to honor me, to glorify my name? And at that moment, I kind of had to step back and think long and hard. And it reminds me of Moses in Exodus, when God tells him, hey, Moses, you go. We go in this land flowing milk and honey. Y'all go take it. I'll send my blessings, but I won't go with you. And Moses says, oh, God, I want your presence. I want you. So I understand a little bit where John was coming from. There's some circumstances going on in his life. Maybe Jesus isn't exactly what he was expecting as Messiah. He may have been like a lot of people that expected him to come in and kind of take over the government a little bit. And it didn't help that John was in jail at this point. Maybe having a little bit of a pity party or something. But his expectations and what he expected from Jesus and the hardships or whatever he's going through caused him to ask, are you the Messiah or should we expect someone else? And I love the way Jesus answered this. And Jesus answered them, go and tell John what you hear and see. And what he's about to say right here, what Jesus is about to say, is fulfilling prophecy after prophecy after prophecy. He's showing John, I fulfilled this prophecy, I fulfilled this prophecy, I fulfilled this prophecy, I fulfilled this prophecy. That's what he's about to say. All these things that I've been doing as Jesus. Yeah, I'm the Messiah. Verse 5, the blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. And then right here, it's just a little word of rebuke from Jesus to John. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And I think some say, blessed is the one who does not fall away because of me. And Jesus is telling him pretty much right here, he's saying, yeah, I'm Jesus, I'm Messiah, I'm the Son of God. That's me. But you're not getting out of jail. And you're about to die. That's pretty much what he's telling John right there. And I am still good, and I'm still holy, and I'm still awesome. Jody, you got that video? Is it up? I'm going to show y'all a little video. I was hesitant whether or not to show this, and been kind of praying about it all week, and just with some stuff, you know, going on. But anyway, I want y'all to look at this and just see. This. It's about a dude named Zach Smith, and just a battle he's had, and just how he's walked with God through it, and just a neat little story.
Hi, my name is Zach Smith, and I am 33 years old. I have been married to my beautiful wife, Mammy, for 11 years. We have three children, Lizzie, Jake, and Luke. And this is my story. I met Jesus when I was 5 years old. I grew up as the son of missionary parents in Ecuador, where I lived for 15 years. I went to college in Arizona, where I met my wife. For the next 10 years, we traveled around while I worked in the information technology field. We served in our local church, and I attended seminary. I often thought about working in full-time ministry, but no opportunity seemed right. I was told about a job here at New Spring Church helping with information technology. It was perfect, an IT job at an amazing church. I took the job and started working in October of 2008. For several months, life was very good, and we were very happy. In May of 2009, at age 32, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. Immediately, I had surgery to remove a foot and a half of my large intestine and a lemon-sized tumor. I was told that cancer had spread to my spleen and to my liver. Chemotherapy was on the horizon. This was all a very sudden shock to me. I had always been very healthy, and I found myself very confused. Why did I have cancer? Had I done something wrong to cause it? Was this a result of many years of sinful living in my past? I was working at a church and serving God. Where did I go wrong? But thankfully, the confusion quickly turned to hope. I knew that God had a plan for my life. I did not understand why I had cancer, but I knew that God was in charge. For 3 months, I underwent a horrible chemo regimen. Afterwards, I had a scan done, and the results were great. There was no cancer found in my body. We celebrated God's healing and God's faithfulness. And the next few weeks of my life were some of the best as I celebrated being cancer-free. But another scan 1 month later showed that the cancer had reappeared, this time in my abdominal cavity. I was devastated. Why was it back? Everything was just starting to make sense, but the reoccurrence of cancer caused even greater confusion. I resumed chemotherapy and did more tests. The cancer is now growing and getting worse. Unfortunately, the chemo drugs are no longer effective in my abdomen, and surgery is not an option due to the degraded state of my liver. Medically speaking, there is nothing more for me, and medically speaking, I probably will not live to 2011. The Bible says in Matthew 7:11 that God gives good things to those who ask. God cannot give me a bad gift, and it is through that lens that I can say that cancer is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I am a better husband and a better dad, a better boss and a better employee, a better friend and a better follower of Jesus. And through cancer, God has shown me some amazing things about himself. Those are indeed great gifts. I still have questions about cancer, why it went away and why it came back. I do not understand, but I know that God is in charge. I am praying for God to heal me. That is my desire. I want to walk my daughter Lizzie down the aisle. I want to watch my sons, Jake and Luke, become men. I want to grow old with Mandy. And I want to live my life with my friends here at work. But I may not be able to work for very much longer. And I may have just celebrated my last Christmas with my family. This I do know. If God chooses to heal me, then God is God and God is good. If God chooses not to heal me and allows me to die, God is still God and God is still good. To God be the glory.
That was filmed about a year ago, I think about January of 2010, and he died in May. So that was, last Christmas was his last Christmas. But where he says, cancer is the best thing that's ever happened to me. You know, that kind of just punched me again when I was watching that, just for the new, no telling how many times I've seen that. Because all the stuff I've watched April go through, that is just, that's, God has used that in my life. And in her life, in the lives of many people. And we can say, why God? And God, I don't understand. And God, I doubt this. But throughout Scripture, it's hardships and it's struggles that God does the most with, that He uses in awesome ways to bring Himself glory. That video right there has circulated around and has been shown by many people, and probably hundreds and thousands have seen it now. And God is using Zach Smith having cancer and dying from it to bring him glory. To hear somebody that's dying say, if I die from this cancer, God is still God and God is still good. That gets people's attention. Whether you love God or you just don't even believe in Him. And that happens throughout Scripture. If y'all would, I know it's a lot of flipping, but turn over to Hebrews 11. And while you're doing that, kind of think about what you expect from God in 2011. What do you expect God to do in your life, in your family? And I'll tell you some things that I thought about without even really thinking. But if you would, Hebrews 11, verse 32. And y'all, this is the faith chapter. I mean, basically like the Faith Hall of Fame. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible where God starts off so many little passages here. By faith, so-and-so did. By faith, so-and-so. By faith, so-and-so. And then we get down to verse 32. We love to celebrate the first majority of this chapter because it's God just coming in and doing amazing things and blessing and conquering. And then we get here. Verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. This is stuff we love to celebrate, we love to talk about. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Some were tortured. Others suffered mocking and flogging, and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains, and in dens and caves of the earth. I wonder if that's what those people expected from their life. When we talk about what we expect, I mean, there's certain things we expect to happen, that we've got a good idea this is going to happen. And then sometimes we just get cold-cocked, knocked to our knees. And there's other times we just get surprised with some of the greatest blessings ever. And when the good comes, we celebrate. And we praise God. And we thank Him. And we need to be able to do that when we get knocked to our knees as well. There's a first year I ever took a youth group to a youth camp. Had a pastor there. His name was Matt Chandler. Brother Jimmy mentioned him a few services back. And I've listened to him and kind of kept up with him off and on since then. He reminded me a lot of me. He's about my age. Got a bit of a attitude about him where he's, I guess, humorous. And he just reminds me a lot of myself in a lot of ways. And last year at Thanksgiving, he had a seizure, fell down, basically busted his head, and got rushed to the ER, and they did a scan. And a week later, he was having brain surgery, having cancer removed from his brain. And when he went in for surgery, he didn't know when he came out if he was going to have memory, if he was going to still have his speaking abilities, what all. Had no clue. Not something he expected when he went to bed the night before Thanksgiving. But he talked about one of the things that he had always taught his congregation and his staff. Something they always talked about was to struggle well and to die well. Because when we're in those situations, we can just magnify God. It's so awesome. And so it was interesting to see how he was going to handle that. For me, that's just something that's interesting for me to see. And and continuously on their church website, he would put a blog up every week just explaining what's going on with him physically and spiritually. And how God was just teaching him and pouring into him, and just how his eyes were open to so many things. And how he did suffer well. And he had surgery and everything went well. He's been taking chemo and stuff. And I keep up with him, you know, through Twitter and websites and stuff. I don't know him personally, but he's just a dynamic speaker, and God's still using him. And right now the cancer is gone in him. Nobody knows if it'll return or what his situation is. But he handled it well. And God has blessed him and has continued to bless him. And just throw this out there too. That's our youth are scheduled to go to youth camp in June, and he's going to be the speaker. We're going down to Orange Beach for youth camp. I said I'd never go to take a group of kids to the beach for youth camp because there's too many distractions and stuff. But when I heard Matt was going to be down there speaking, I decided I'm going to take him, because this dude is so real and he's experienced and just walked with God in just in so awesome ways. And I want the youth to hear about that and to learn from him. So we'll be doing that. Sorry for that little off-topic thing. But expectations. I was thinking about, without even knowing what I expect in 2011. I mean, just, you know, when I was thinking about stuff I wanted, about stuff I wanted to happen in our family, about stuff I wanted to get. And I was never really asking God, God, what do you want? God, what do you expect to happen? A year ago, not me. Nobody knew we'd be in this building right here at this church. Didn't expect this. And man, God has blessed us and is blessing and is teaching it. And we get to come in here and worship Him and praise Him and just be with Him. Don't have to worry about putting on a mask coming in here, trying to look perfect and good, and that I've got everything figured out. I come in here with my baggage or whatever, with my hurts, my heartaches, the good and the bad. And I know I'm loved and accepted. And I hope every one of y'all feel the same way. Just sit in a place where we put on the mask and we come and everything's fine and everything's great in my life. We're all going to have those struggles. And we're gonna mourn with you when you mourn. And we're going to rejoice with you when you rejoice. And we're going to know at all times that God is good and He is worthy to be praised. Last time I'm going to ask you to turn your Bible, if you would, over to Romans 5. I know this is a lot of Bible turning today, and I apologize somewhat for that. And I thought coming from Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, I thought this just kind of goes really well with that. And I love this. Verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just stop right there. There is nothing in the world greater than peace with God. That's not something you can buy. Doesn't matter how much money you have, you can't pay for it. That's a gift from God. And oh, that's a good gift. And God, we thank you for that. Verse 2, through Him we also have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of glory. God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. And I love this right here. And if you've ever suffered, or if you're suffering now, I hope you can appreciate this. And if you haven't, you need to take this in and memorize it, because in this life, suffering is going to come. Verse 3, more than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Man, peace and hope. It's two of the best things you can ever have. And that can only come from God. Walmart don't sell it. Can't even get it online. eBay, Amazon. Mm-mm. So back to John. Are you the Messiah, or should we expect someone else? And Jesus says, hey, don't turn away on account of me. And a little bit later, John's decapitated from that same prison where he sent out the messengers. And God was honored through that and received glory. See, the thing that has helped me so much is figuring out, understanding why I'm here. Man, I get to be a parent to two beautiful little girls. I get to be a husband for, I think, the most awesome lady in the world. Got a great and awesome family, some awesome friends. But that's not why I'm here. I'm here for God's glory. And that all that other stuff is just part of how I get to bring Him glory. Created in His image to love Him, to be loved by Him, and to bring Him glory. And we get that figured out. And man, so many things fall into place. We don't have to know why. So as a follower of Christ, with expectations, as a follower of Christ, what can I expect? Well, one thing, you can expect the unexpected. That's going to happen. But you can expect for your life and your circumstances to be used to bring Him glory. Expect the unexpected, but then expect God to use it for His glory, for His honor, and for His great name. That's why we're here. That's why we're here. For His glory, for His honor, for His great name. And I think if John had to do that to do over again, he'd have thought through that question a little bit more before he asked it. Because he knew that. When I'm struggling, when we're going through hard times, and I ask God, what are we doing? What's going on? I know. I just don't really like what's going on in my life at that point. And he reminds me, Jamie, you're here for my glory. I can say thank you, Lord, for that. What do you expect from 2011? Expect God to use you. Expect your life to bring you honor and glory. And expect some hard times to come. And when they do, bring those hard times here. And let's pray over them. Let's walk through it together. And when you're just blessed beyond measure, bring that in. Let us rejoice with you. Let's celebrate together. Let's go to Waffle House and put 25 cents in a slot machine and do the Waffle House do Whopper or whatever. Expectations. Get that right. Know what you expect. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, it's just an honor to be in your presence. Lord, to be blessed by you. To be able to praise you, lift you up. God, I pray that we can just be a big blinking arrow that points people to you. By the way we live our lives, the things we say, the things we do, even the things we desire, may they bring you honor and glory. That you would be lifted up. And God, when we are blessed beyond measure, when you bless us with anything good, and your word tells us that every good and perfect gift is from above. And we receive those gifts, whether they're materially or spiritually, God, help us to celebrate those with our friends, with your people. And Father, when we struggle, and we get knocked to our knees. Help us bring that to you. First and foremost to you. And then to the group that you surrounded us with. Father God, I thank you for what you've done here in just the first few months we've been at this church. How you poured out your goodness and your blessings and your love. God, that we're able to just walk hand in hand with you. May everything that takes place here, Lord, may it be for your name, for your honor, your glory, and your praise. May we just be all about you, Father. We love you. We praise you. We thank you for being our God and for inviting us to be your people. We pray these things in the holy, awesome, wonderful, powerful name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.